Thanks, Walter. That's a really good introduction to the consensus framework, to the goals and objectives. One of the things I want to share, if you're new to this endeavor, you're hearing this alphabet soup, ISDS, IRA, the Public Health Data Standards Consortium, all of this stuff. And my first meeting, I thought, well, one of the things these people can do right away is just shrink down the number of organizations. And I think part of what makes JFIT necessary is, in fact, in this arcane effort to build a national health information exchange system, there really is a lot of detailed, specific knowledge that's required that people gain over many years. And these professional associations that are part of JFIT bring all of that together. And so if you're new, one of the things you can do is start to teach yourself that alphabet soup and try to understand, so what does APHL really do? Which system is it that they operate in? Once you start to grasp that, you'll really see how all the pieces fit together. But it's that breadth of knowledge that's required for doing this work that really makes JFIT necessary. So what I'm going to do for my section is go through some example strategies that are in the consensus framework. The example strategies, again, are illustrative. The point at this point is to provoke discussion, brainstorming, to help us work together toward some solutions. The example strategies, by the way, are not tied to the objectives. So this isn't a strategic plan with goals, objectives, strategies. This is a consensus framework, so it's got goals and objectives, and then some illustrations of things we might do at this point about the goals, and we'll work toward, together, a strategic framework. Some of these example strategies should be very familiar to you. If you were in the AMIA sessions yesterday, you'll probably look at some of them and say, hey, AMIA thinks they're doing that. In fact, there's a lot of convergence right now going on between AMIA, Public Health Data Standards Consortium, FITPO, and the JFIT member associations. And so it's a good thing that we're starting to see us focusing down on some core ideas. As I present the examples, I'm going to present for each goal, I'm going to present example strategies for the federal organizations and national associations, some example strategies for them, those folks working at the national level, and then a group of example strategies for state and local health departments. And again, as you're looking at those, ask yourselves, would these strategies really help to achieve that goal or not? Can they be improved? And what's missing? I'd like to share a story with you before we get going. JFIT was formed in 2007. We had our initial meeting in 2007. We actually formed in 2008. A couple of years ago, as we were cutting our teeth, we got a meeting with Farzad Mostashari, who at that time was a deputy in the Office of the National Coordinator, and now he is the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology. So we were so excited. He walked into the meeting room with us, and we immediately started the typical lament of public health. Oh, Farzad, please compel the federal government to fully fund public health information technology. And we were shocked when he said, nobody even knows you guys exist. He said, in the federal advisory committees right now, the vendors and the providers are eating your lunch. And I really want to help you, but you got to do something to help yourself first. And so we went out of there with our tail between our legs. And that's part of the genesis for this work. We knew we needed to really get strong. We needed to bring something to the table, some ideas that would help improve things, so that the vendor community, the provider community, would start listening to us. And that's really some of the genesis for this effort. So under the overarching goal of capacity, which I remind you has components of increasing our own ability to assess our level of capacity, dissemination of tools, and training for our workforce, some of the example strategies include, and again, there are more example strategies under these than I can fit on my slides, or then we can discuss in the time allotted. So I just pulled out some key ones, and this is my assessment of what the key strategies are. My colleagues over here may remember some others that they'll bring up. So one would be develop informatics standards for health department accreditation. The key word there is accreditation, for national and state accreditation. Advocate for JFET members to be funded to assess informatics capacity gaps. Probably at this point in time, we just say figure out a way to have JFET members assess informatics capacity gaps. Develop concrete measures, for example, survey questions, to assess informatics capacity. In other words, some standardized tools that we can use so we can really compare results that we're getting. Ensure the availability of informatics training and curricula. Deploy the informatics profile tool developed out of the state of Minnesota, which assesses very specific areas of informatics capacity. What informatics systems is a public health enterprise using? Are they interoperable? How are they interoperable? What partners do they work with? What's the capacity of their workforce? And then develop some sample job descriptions for informaticians. Some people are actually talking about going all the way to certifying informaticians. I've got a couple that I want to pull out here. Regarding accreditation, the Public Health Accreditation Board is actually interested in working with us to start to insert into national accreditation standards for informatics, for systems that should be in place in public health and for their staff. And so we're beginning that conversation. So that's a very promising strategy there.
That's your water.
Yes, it's not the water. It's my lifelong asthma from having parents who were smokers and living in Los Angeles in the 1960s. So my parents smoked in the house. So we've already started taking some baby steps for doing assessment. For example, in the rollout to meaningful use, ASTO, a critical JFET partner, conducted a national survey of the readiness of state health departments for meaningful use, and we got some fabulous results that surprisingly told us we were closer to being ready for meaningful use than we really thought. Now, this needs to go a lot farther. If you were at the Vendor Town Hall last night, you heard the vendors crying, who do we ask? You know, what standards are various states using for their lab information systems? Who do we ask? You know, how can we get this fixed? And all of us public health professionals standing around the room, and most of us saying, we don't know. So we really have to describe our capacity better so that it's safe for the vendors to come forward and help us succeed in our work. So this assessment strategy is really critical. And then the Public Health Informatics Profile Toolkit, which I just described out of Minnesota, is actually a really fantastic tool that health departments can use to determine their informatics capacity and disseminating that.
Could I say just briefly, yeah. Marcus, excuse me, that's available from the NACHO website in their informatics toolkit, and also available for free download as well from the Public Health Informatics Institute website. So if you're not a NACHO member, you can get it from phii.org.
Sure, but a strategy would be, what can we do to actually help people find the time to actually use this thing? Because I know it's there, I'm in JFET, but I haven't applied it in my health department. You know, what do we do to overcome that barrier? So from these strategies that I've thrown out, can you guys think of other things that, in terms of increasing capacity that I've missed? Yeah, so what about you all? Focusing on capacity. Are we getting there? Do we need to do more?
Walter covered it in his slide. It was sort of there's functional capacity, which has to do with sort of, you know, your IT operations were reliably managed. Trying to remember some of the other aspects of it now. And then there's resource capacity, which you've had the skill staff, you've got policies, you've got, you know, so it really kind of covers the waterfront. But that is a key thing. If you're going to assess capacity, you first got to define it.
Right.
And
if you're going to put the standards into accreditation, we need to sort of agree with FAB what that is so that we're working on the same project. Bob?
Regarding workforce, are we establishing linkages with these new training programs that are being developed by community colleges, by schools of public health, by master's programs and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important linkage. I don't know if there's an academic connection to JFIT or not.
I thought that the recommendations that Amy brought forward were really excellent in that regard in terms of developing those linkages. And I noticed that those things aren't spelled out really specifically in our consensus framework, and I took that as something we could do to strengthen this consensus framework. Yeah. Okay, we got three, and then I'll have to close this off. One, two, three.
I just had a quick question. So you mentioned that here the great resource is developed, but time as a big barrier. I mean, do you have ideas about what can be done to incentivize people to use these?
One idea would be to put that into accreditation and say, to be fully accredited, a health department has to have the following capacities, and it would point to the tools. And so then if you wanted whatever the purported benefits of accreditation are going to be, easier scoring on grant applications, things like that, you'd be incentivized to go through that. There are also efforts underway which are not JFIT work, but which a JFIT strategy could be to teach the associations about, to make really low-cost training available at home for local and state health departments. Those things are under development right now. They're not there, but our job would be to be aware of those things, to educate our member associations about them. Yeah. And I'd be interested in, of course, we're interested in your ideas, too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You have these toolkits, but sometimes you just need somebody to just show it to you,
right,
and lead you through it. And I think we could, and we're involved with JFIT.
Yeah. Sir.
So, all through Los Angeles County Department of Health Services. So, I noticed that one of your strategies was to recommend funding for the different JFIT organizations to do capacity analysis. I would just suggest that you rather there be a common methodology and vocabulary that's used in all of the different capacity building, growth capacity analysis, so that anything that comes out can be either compared or aggregated.
Perfect. Perfect. Yep. Yes?
I'm from a medium-sized health department in North Carolina, and just to speak briefly to the need for workforce capacity, our IT staff is all county-wide. We don't have anyone within mm-hmm. our health department who is dedicated IT staff, and for that reason, the IT staff we do have to rely on has no background at all in public health. In addition to that, our staff is largely nurses, health educators, and so forth, very people-focused individuals, but again, no IT information background. A few who I would consider literate, but not really fluent, aside from myself. And when you look at smaller health departments than we are, and we're the eighth biggest county in the state, it's even worse than that. And so, small to medium-sized health departments really have a big need for staff who get it, and
mm-hmm.
who, even if they get where you can go with it, who have the skills that can get from where they are to where they need to be.
Right. So obviously we need to do a whole session on that. This goal is supposed to address that, and I hope we've given you some feeling so you're an NHO member. Yeah, so definitely NHO is advocating very strongly as a member of JFIT along those lines, and clearly we need to do more, so very well said.
Yes, sir. One quick point, I think, because your idea or your concept is really a great a point of needing what I've been kind of making a note here of quick guides to present to non-public health IT support people. Whereby, they come one morning to say, we're going to fix this. We were asked to come here and fix this. So you can provide them with a quick guide, I guess, or before they come, just provide them with something that can help them put what they're going to do in the context of public health.
And from the other direction, health department staff knowing how to just know those keywords to talk to an IT.
That's important, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we got to move on. I'll pick on you first if you have a question in the next section. So under the strategy of capacity for health departments, some of the Example strategies include, we just talked about, the disseminating the informatics profile so health departments should complete it, establishing targets for staff who need to receive informatics training, developing an ongoing staff educational program. Obviously, we're hearing from people in the room, one cannot do that without some kind of external support, whether that's the state or professional associations or FAB or somebody else. Explore collaborating with the state Medicaid program and develop your own enterprise architecture strategy. Now, of course, not the majority of local health departments can't do this, but some can. And state health departments should be, because they have state HIE grants right now. Clearly, if one were to do that, there would need to be guidance about building that architecture toward what. And so the two goals from now on, information technology architecture, is relevant there. That needs to be defined, and then those who have the capacity need to build toward that. There's one strategy that I want to pull out, and that's working with the state Medicaid program. When we wrote the consensus framework, this revolved around collaborating on training with your state Medicaid program. But actually, there are a lot of success stories out there now about state and local health departments who are working on a health information exchange, being able to Medicaid match the dollars they have on the dedicated to those activities if they can show that the activities are going to primarily serve the Medicaid population. So definitely explore that if your state Medicaid office is open to it. If they're not, work through your SACHO and getting them to be open to it. Matching those dollars you're using for HIE projects can stretch your capacity a little bit farther. So do you guys want to add anything to this? I have a question.
So, with relation to what you just said, in the healthcare delivery world, there is a sea change, as we all know, going on with regard to focus on quality, healthcare quality. And so, whether it's Medicaid, Medicare, and also I would point out the quality organizations, the QIO, the quality improvement organizations, there's often one in every state, and the QIOs are essentially absolutely focused on improving healthcare.
That's fantastic. That's a new idea to me. I see scribbling happening here. National QIO organizations to the next meeting. Thank you. Okay, so moving on to the second goal, engagement, really being fully participating in the national rollout of health information exchange. So public health is fully engaged. This is for federal organizations and associations. Develop a communications plan highlighting key HIE issues for public health. So we've been already talking about the need for us to be better educated about what's going on. And this would also be for educating external organizations, advisory committees, et cetera. Participate in developing public health and population health goals related to HIE, particularly since we're in the throes of meaningful use right now. What is meaningful use stage 2 and 3 going to look like? And then aligning organizational priorities and work plans around the consensus framework to ensure synergistic efforts. So that may sound a little parochial. The consensus framework doesn't need to be owned by JFIT, but clearly everybody involved in public health needs to the greatest extent possible that we can do it honestly, come to some kind of consensus about where we need to go. I just want to make a couple of key points here. We said that one of the goals of JFIT was speaking with one voice. Obviously, we feel like that's really critical in engagement so that we look credible. When we sit down in front of Farzad at ONC, we're able to say, this is what public health thinks, and this is just one of dozens of communications that we've sent representing our member organizations. And then being fully engaged, JFIT was very involved in making recommendations around meaningful use stage 1. And, given the spanking that we received from Farzad, we were stunned that a lot of our recommendations were actually taken up. And I think if we hadn't received the direction that we needed at that time, we wouldn't have been as fully engaged, and the opportunity for public health to be really deeply involved in meaningful use might have gotten away from us, and so that was really critical. Anything from the panel? Distinguished panel. Okay, so in terms of full engagement, are we getting close? Could it be improved? Okay, great. I will move along to engagement for state and local health departments. Convene a task force to create a vision for e-public health within your own agency. The e-public health, of course, a term that's in increasing use, supplanting health information exchange, and really talking more about what we want to do. But creating that vision, getting your staff fully engaged, participate in your local health information exchange. Work with your state HIT coordinator to ensure that public health is part of your state HIE plan. Create a liaison position to coordinate efforts between your agency and others, a meaningful use coordinator. And lead the charge to use clinical data for health assessment. I want to speak to a few of these.
Hang on 1 second. Yep. Yes, something. The live meeting is not broadcasting right now, so I just need to...
Oh, okay.
You have to do it all over, Marcus.
No, I think we need to go back and start with Bill. How long have we been down?
I don't know. We just got word from one of the attendees, the virtual attendees.
Your last statement, you said lead the charge to what?
Have your local HIE, what were the words I used? Be fully involved in health information, health assessment. So CDRs, clinical data repositories, are being built off electronic health records data. And in many places, these data are just being held as records of what's occurred. And people are thinking about using them for health assessment. And they're even saying we can't do that, that violates HIPAA. Or public health is not at the table. Any one of those could be the problem. And so a great role for public health, whether it's at state level or at the local level, is, even if you're a small health department, your health officer or your CIO or whoever can be at the table with your health information exchange saying, we need to be using this data to understand public health, to understand the health status of our community. One of the things that I said when I started getting involved in health information exchange was I was going to work until the behavioral risk factor survey was dead and was replaced in public health by clinical data. And I hope I don't have to work until I'm 85. So. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, we need to go back. Yeah, so participate with your local health information exchange. One of the things I run into in Michigan, there are health information exchanges throughout the state, and most of the health officers are saying, I have no role. I have no role. I have no role. And I really want to challenge local health departments be involved. If you go to the meetings and you don't understand what's going on, keep going, and you will after a while. And you may be surprised and find that you're welcome and even needed. And these HIEs can really be bent away from being, some of them are purely clinical in focus, and they can include a public health focus. Work with your state HIT coordinator to ensure that public health is part of your state HIE plan. I don't know, once upon a time, the state HIE plans were pretty well evenly divided between those that had a public health focus and those that did not. I think that's changing. I don't know how far it's changed. But that's something that is moving on. Meaningful use coordinators have already been designated for states, but why can't local health departments have meaningful use coordinators? Even if, as most small local health departments, you're not going to be a direct recipient of those data, but how are you going to use them to improve your practice? How are you sure that the state or your HIE or who's ever responsible for meaningful use in your jurisdiction is getting the job done? Are they getting the job done, or are they... As I was surprised to learn last week at a meeting in Michigan, there's been some foot dragging going on. And so one of the things I know I need to do when I go back is make a lot of noise, get my health officer to make noise about that, keep moving forward on that. And then lead the charge to use clinical data for health assessment. Sorry to the folks who are virtually participating, but we discussed that while the conference was offline. So any other comments or questions? Yes, sir.
Just a comment.
a lot of HIEs are fiscally challenged in terms of sustainability, and that represents both an opportunity for a local health department to leverage. It's also a little bit of a concern because the HIE may push back and say we can't afford any additional change in our scope.
I think that's a very, very important point. Honestly, I don't think JFIT has discussed supporting the sustainability of HIEs. And panelists, am I wrong? We have not. So that's a fantastic point. I mean, that really resonates with me because I'm from Michigan, and our strategy for HIE really includes the regional HIEs. They're central to our state HIE plan. So I would say you just picked out a good point that we need to work on. Thank you for that. Last question, and then we have to move on.
I'm in the local district level IT position, and I think after attending a lot of these meetings that I found that the biggest roadblock that we face as IT people is the disconnect from the state programmatic level to the local health department level where we collect the data. The programmatic level at the state, they don't understand the importance of data, and they don't understand how it could be beneficial to them. And we've been trying for years to get a data warehouse established where we provide them with the data, because their main theme all the time is that we don't have the data we need. We have the data they need, but they're not willing. I mean, I think that should be a big part of this committee. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad y'all are there, and I think connecting the state level to the regions, the districts, and the county levels where the data is collected is of urgent importance. And that's what we're experiencing now.
I'd like to paraphrase what you're saying as improving the vertical organization of public health, local, state, and federal, because I know there are many states in which the state people say, those locals don't understand the importance of data. Okay. We can't get them to input it. We can't get them to submit their reports. How are we supposed to know what's going on? So I think that what we really need to do is get smart about specifically where are the weaknesses in our capacity, focus on those, and really get vertically aligned. But yeah, that's a common story. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. 10 minutes?
Yes. So that means we have to finish the next two in 5 minutes each. So focusing on creating an overall public health architecture, some of the example strategies for agencies and associations are document the business case for public health information technology architecture, create a compendium of current relevant standards for public health and identify areas that require standards development. That would obviously be building on the work of Public Health Data Standards Consortium. Collaboratively establish priorities and standards for information management and use, and collaboratively establish priorities and standards for adoption or development. And then encourage federal agencies to allow funding to be used for ongoing maintenance, licensing, upgrades of information systems, as well as for acquisition and development. I think I heard a couple of questions that were focusing on that already. Siloed architecture, can we break down those silos? Just some example strategies. One might be if you can spare staff to participate in integrating the healthcare enterprise, the vendor-driven roundtable that's focusing on improving health information exchange. That would be great to be there to help improve that dialogue. And another one is that CDC is rolling out a strategic plan. They're explicitly asking all public health associations to help them make that strategic plan a success. JFIT's helping them with that. And so being involved through your member associations and rolling out the FIM strategic plan. I think one of the things that I'm hearing, whether it's from AMIA or from Public Health Data Standards Consortium or from FITPO, is the need to convene an expert panel to talk about FITA, the Public Health Information Technology Architecture. Everybody's asking for that, and so I think that's something that JFIT's really focused on. Then for health departments, create agency-wide architectures that support the exchange of information internally, determine priority systems to modernize at your agency, explore opportunities to optimally link modernizing public health information systems to state Medicaid technology architecture, MITA, and increase your internal knowledge and skills in HL7 messaging standards. Obviously, if you have the capacity, getting some people who can really work with standards. We have a couple of minutes for this one. Yes, sir. Thank you for taking the microphone.
Thank you, Bill. First of all, Makro Dimitris from FDA. I'm a commissioner's fellow there. Not representing, but I want to add to this wonderful initiative a couple of thoughts. The other models you may consider as well, and from my experience participating on that, one is there is a relevant ISO initiative now that they are trying to build an e-health kind of architecture. And I think John Fitzpatrick was presenting something yesterday, so something to keep in mind. Another one is there is an HL7 architectural board kind of standard. It's called SIF, Service Aware Interoperability Framework.
Yes.
That also fits very well with different interoperabilities among different levels.
Yes.
And the last one is actually an initiative I'm participating in, is the Federal Health Architecture.
Yes.
That ONC, and probably you're familiar with that. So, some ideas.
Yes, thank you. Okay, I'm going to keep us moving. Then our last goal is to fully participate in health information exchange policy making. So the goal here is policy making and strategies at the federal level, analyze public policy committees, advisory groups, certification bodies to assess the participation of public health. PHDSC has produced alarming data on the paucity of representation by public health at those bodies. Implement a recruitment process to ensure public health representation on standards development and policy bodies. Identify methods of collaborating with the eHealth Initiative to ensure public health engagement. And last, continue the relationship with the HIMSS Government Relations Office to ensure effective communication and coordination between industry and public health. And that's in there because HIMSS, Health Information Management System to Society, took it upon themselves to reach out to us and offer to sponsor JFIT members for many, many HIE activities and HIMSS activities, and it's helped us a lot. So some of the vendors do care about us, and they are reaching out to us, and so that's why that one specifically names HIMSS. This is just a page from the consensus framework, and you probably can't read them, but the first two objectives there form what many of us in JFIT and some outside of JFIT are calling public health at every table. That's really focused on identifying which FACAs, which subcommittees, which standards committees, which certification bodies lack adequate public health representation. And then in addition to that, then identifying, okay, who can sponsor someone from public health? What association, what organization, what cooperative agreement has a little slack in there to send somebody to participate and really start to match those things up? The big challenge for public health is, can we spare the bodies from our state and local health departments to get those people there? And that's what we have to take on. We have to really understand the value of that participation and what a difference it's made to the direction of meaningful use in health information exchange so we can answer the call when it comes. And then for health departments, this can be summarized as make your people available when the opportunity arises. Coordinate with professional associations to develop key policy messages and actions. So participate in your professional associations. Designate staff to monitor HIE policy developments. Provide briefings and communications to agency staff. So if they can't go, at least tell them what's going on. And then when feasible, support the participation of agency staff in national public policy committees, advisory groups, and certification bodies. And I want to talk about a success story from our agency. We were very much in the same position, I think, as this small local health department over here in the corner, where we didn't have project managers who could project manage our HIT projects, and we were totally dependent on our MIS system. And they didn't understand us, and they poo-pooed our concerns. And we participated in the Informatics Academy funded by the De Beaumont Foundation, by the Public Health Informatics Institute. We sent a couple of our staff members there. When we first asked them to go, they said, "Why are you sending me there? I'm just a nurse. I don't understand this stuff." And by the time they were done, they started thinking of themselves as project managers, that nursing is good, but we really have to change systems, and I know how to do that. So that participation, when you can find a way to do it, is really critical. That brings us to the end of my section of this, And we still have about 2 or 3 minutes left for discussion or comment. Anybody from the panel want to add anything? Yes, Bob.
I guess kind of a summary comment. I hope the state health agencies will take the lead in establishing informatics units, well-trained people, and spread the word to the local health departments, because we do look at local level to state health department for leadership in there. Some are great, and some of the big local health departments have capacity, but it's really a joint project, and so together we need to establish these standards and begin to meet them and use the right terminology, informatics, or if it becomes e-public health, use that or both, and get more people trained and put into the right kind of structural units and working together on all these goals and objectives.
Joanne's got her hand up. So I would just add, I mean, some specific strategies, get meaningful use coordinators at states and the requirement for state HIE plans. I mean, these are the kind of pressures that we can put strategies, specific strategies that we can put on states to cause that to happen. And so obviously we need more. And so that's the idea of this consensus framework. What other strategies can we layer on there?
So I'm the state health officer in Nebraska and the new co-chair for JPIT. And we've done those strategies. And several years ago, I reorganized the whole department. And we have a public health support unit, which pulls all of our data folks together. And so we have a whole area that's focused on informatics and data. We've done several statutory and rules and regs revisions. So data and movement is a high priority. It's one of my 5 focus areas for the department. So it can be done. I've been to the legislature every year making sure that we're up to snuff on that. We've also made sure that every grant that goes out of the department has a data component in it, so we are funding the people to do this work, and so it can be done. And then we just had a chronic disease surveillance planning grant that came through now. This hasn't been approved yet, so if there are any CDC folks in the audience, you can help me out here. but I asked them, I don't need that money for planning, but what I wanted to do was IT infrastructure for chronic disease surveillance through our HIE. So I'm asking for permission to use that money in that way because I really don't need a bunch of people sit around a table and talk planning stuff and have forums and all that business. I need that money for IT infrastructure. So that's I need a little bit of money for people to sit around a table and talk, but I don't need a lot of money for that. I need IT infrastructure and working in the IT realm. So there are ways to do this. You just have to think creatively and carve it out of grants that are already coming to it, and then you need to work with your legislature to get them to understand. They understand words like converting paper to electronic processes. They understand this language that's simple. And you just have to work for that in the future. But it can be done.
So maybe NACHO is saying to ASTO, we know some states are in the lead, but some are lagging behind, and how can we put our heads together to work through cooperative agreements or to work through ONC or to work through ASTO to put some pressure on the states that are dragging their feet? That's the purpose of the consensus framework.
So meaningful use actually looks at if you are using systems that meet certain specification criteria, and then it has a second component that looks if you are actually using these systems meaningfully. I wanted to apply that concept to the certification itself because informaticians come in many different shapes and flavors. Three best informaticians I have worked with, one was anthropologist, one was electrical engineer, one was communication specialist. And there are some, it's very complex. So I was wondering, as part of the certification, should we also consider more process and organizational level criteria, like do they have software development lifecycle, do they have alignment of their software development to their business requirements, and those kind of criteria in addition to just simply having capacity.
Wow. We probably should ask some vendors how they would feel about that. Obviously, that's what they ought to have. And I think maybe raising that with IHE or through some of the other fora would be a great thing to float.
and with FAB in terms of accreditation standards as well. Thank you.
Okay, I think we're
The need to wrap up and
we'll stay. We'll be here if anybody wants to talk.
But before we thank our speakers, could we have any JFIT board members, either current or new, also stand up, please? Mark Condi and Joanne, and I don't know if Trish is in the room now. Okay, so she left. So a few other board members, Mark for APSL. And then for our speakers today, thanks so much. And for you, thank you. Great participation. Thanks so much for contributing to the framework.